Thank you for that, Al and Anna. That was beautiful. And I think that captures a lot of what the theme of this morning is. Christ came to call us home, and yet there is this irony that's full of it, that from the moment God in the flesh showed up, there was rejection. The moment that we were called home for the first time, there was immediately a running from that, whether we knew it or not. Al and Anna, thank you for that this morning. As a brief aside, because I just have to get it out of my head and into yours, otherwise this isn't going to go well. I was listening to NPR yesterday, and Ed and I, this week we wanted a live nativity on stage. That's not true, but just pretend that it is. And the best we could get was a kitten. And I was listening to NPR yesterday, and they were telling this story of a church that had a live nativity, and they had a goat. Did anybody else hear this segment? No? No one else was driving listening to NPR like 2 yesterday? And this goat ate the baby Jesus out of the manger until all that was left was a plastic foot. And so they replaced the baby Jesus doll, but I just thought that was ironic. I mean, people were freaking out, like, I have cat allergies, and I'm thinking about there's probably a goat eating a baby Jesus somewhere. And that is what Christmas is all about. So it's good to be here with you all this morning. And for those of you who aren't normally here, we're glad that you're here. We recognize that in the holidays, people travel. You go to be with family, and you do the traditions of the family that you go to be with. And so for some of you, we recognize this morning that you may be here in honor of somebody that you're with, that church isn't normally a place that you would call home or feel comfortable. And we just want to thank you for trusting us with your morning, for taking that step towards the person that you're visiting this holiday season and being present here. That act is not lost on us. So this morning, as we've been going through this series based on a hymn, O Come Long Expected Jesus, we've come to the final refrain, and this morning that refrain is, Jesus came to call us home. And in that phrase, there's so many things. The very first one, Jesus came, and if that's true, that alone has huge implications. If God actually came down from heaven, if God actually was walking around on earth, that is a big deal. And it's a big deal because if that actually took place, if God actually came in the person of Jesus to be in it with us, that tells us something profound about God. And I think one of the things that it tells us that, church, I hope we don't miss this morning, is that it tells us that God, without reservation, without drawing boundaries, that God is in it with us. That God is in it in the pain and in the triumph. That God is in it with us when the night seems dark, and when the dawn is finally coming, God is in it with us. And as humans, we need to know that somebody is in it with us, right? We need to know that somebody is in it with us. I read a study this week that kind of talked about loneliness. And it said that loneliness, being lonely, severely lonely, is the same thing, can have the same health impacts as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. And it said that the prime kind of areas, and I'm not saying this study is all right, so don't get all science-y on me, but it says that the prime kind of lonely stages are 30s, like kind of late 20s, early 30s, mid-50s, and 80s, because of the big transitions that take place with life and with health during those times. And these questions of loneliness, and is anybody in this with me? Do I matter? Do people see what I'm going through? They percolate to the surface. They come to the surface in a different way in those seasons. And it's funny, right? We all need people to be in it with us. So here's an example from my life. For those of you who don't know me, I'm weird, but I like to think that I'm the right kind of weird, right? So it's like I'm just weird enough that people think he's weird but likable, but not so weird that they're like, I don't know how to socialize with that fellow. So before I was a pastor, I used to do clinical research. And so I was working at a hospital in the north suburbs of Chicago, and I had a coworker named Patty. And something that I did, we all kind of shared a communal office space, and something that I would do is whenever I was going to go get coffee or go get water, I would just ask, anybody need coffee? Anybody need water? Just do a nice gesture, right? Break up the mundaneness of the workday. And at this point, for whatever reason, it was just Patty and I in the office, and so I'm leaving the office. Patty, do you want any water? And she goes, I would love some water. And I go, you got it. And I wink and do a double, like, point at her in a professional setting. I'm wearing nicer pants than this, a button up, all, you know, I mean, I look good. And I go, and I walk out and I think, what on earth did I just do? Like, that, I don't know where I learned that, and I wouldn't recommend trying that out. Parents, your high school kids and younger will not think you are cool. Don't do that. So I immediately call my wife and I'm like, babe, you will not believe what I just did. Because I needed to know that somebody was in it with me. Fast forward to the kids' Christmas program last week. I'm telling you, I don't know where this comes from. And I'm sitting in the back row over there, and Ben Bevis, some of you know him, he goes here, he's got a bunch of kids up here singing. And one of his kids does something funny. Ben turns around and looks at me, and we're laughing. And out of nowhere, I haven't done this in at least, well, 3 years, I go, and I look at my wife, and I'm like, where did that come from? And I don't know. And don't do that, and don't do that to me afterwards. But here's the point. The moment I made kind of, and I would say, I mean, I eventually went to Patty, and I was like, Patty, I don't know why I did that. I told Ben, I'm like, Ben, I haven't done that in a, I told him a decade, but that wasn't true. But don't tell him that either. But I needed somebody to be in it with me. Because I wanted somebody to recognize, yeah, that was weird. You were odd doing that, my friend. But I'm still with you in it. But what if it's further than that? What if it's a place of failing? What if you've lost your job? You need to know that somebody is in it with you. What if you're looking around and your marriage is struggling? You need to know that somebody is in it with you. What if you've done something and you look at yourself in the mirror and you look and then you look down because the shame is just too much. And you look again, and you look down again. Maybe you've gone back to the bottle one too many times. I don't know what your story is. But God is in it with you. That is what it means that Jesus came to call you home. It means that there's no place that you can go. It means there's nothing you can do. It's nothing you can experience. It's nothing that can happen to you where Jesus will turn his back and walk away. That is what it means that God came to call you home. The holidays can be both a particularly enjoyable time and a particularly trying time. They can be enjoyable, full of meaningful relationships, of family, and of fun traditions together. And yet the other side of that same coin, the holidays can be particularly painful, reminding us of those who are no longer with us, those who are absent because of death or maybe mental illness or divorce or incarceration or any variety of reasons. Maybe traditions that once were so fun, they ring hollow without the presence of those people. The holidays, while it can be a time when we're together and it's filled with joy, it can also be these moments where we start to ask, is anybody in this with me? Do I still matter? Does my voice matter at all? Do people see me in this? And so for each of you, for each of us in this holiday season, when you find yourself in the midst of deep joy, in the midst of celebration, because Christmas, God with us, you're never going to find yourself too far away. I'm worried I'm going to form a habit by the end of this service. It's a little nerve-wracking. I should have picked a different illustration. Christmas declares that in the midst of your joy, in the midst of that reality, God is present with you. And if you find yourself in the midst of deep pain, maybe the memories of the past or realities of present loss, Christmas, God coming to earth, declares in the midst of that too that God is present with you. Something that I think is just really important to name for us this morning, when God came to earth, if God came to earth, if there's God and God came to earth in the person Jesus, like Christians believe, Jesus did not come to insist on being right. He didn't come to insist on his own way. He didn't come to insist on being right. What he did was he came to insist on being right beside you. And so when you find yourself in the midst of this season, wherever you find yourself, know that God is insisting. That's the incarnation. That's Jesus with us. God is insisting that he wants to be right alongside you. And we find this as soon as Jesus' life started to be recorded. This guy named John, who knew Jesus, walked with Jesus, he wrote down what took place. And the very first thing that he wrote down in Jesus' life was Jesus in the middle of celebration, right? Jesus at a wedding, turning water into wine, even after, as John wrote, many of the people were drunk. And yet Jesus was the life of the party, turning water into wine, enjoying the celebration alongside. And yet, at the same time, one of the last things that Jesus wrote down in the midst of suffering, or one of the last things that John wrote down about Jesus, was Jesus in the midst of suffering. An innocent human being, the purest and kindest and smartest and most loving who ever lived, being murdered in a public space. Jesus knew what it was to be human, the joy in the sorrow. Jesus laughed. Jesus wept. He suffered much. And because of that, no matter where you find yourself this holiday season, Jesus came to call you home. And home doesn't mean eventually, sure, maybe that can mean life after death, right? That's what home could look like. That there's a promise of resurrection. That's jumping way ahead in the Christian story. But there's a promise of resurrection that Jesus came to call you to a final home. But here and now, friends, Jesus came to call you home, to a different way of seeing yourself, to a different way of experiencing life. The reality for many of us is that in this world, our lives consist of some really hard and some really painful things. And for some of you, you yourself have been living in this hard and painful place for a really, really long time. And you've probably been asking or wondering, will this ever end? How long, O Lord, how long will this go on? And for others of you, you've been watching someone go through a really hard and painful place for a really long time. And maybe you can lend a listening ear, or you can make a meal here or there, but you're asking the same question, God, how long? God, when will this end? And at Christmas, we celebrate that God coming to earth, as Eric preached last week, was the beginning of the kingdom. And we'll get to that in a few minutes. But the reality is that this kingdom, this beautiful promise, it's both now and not yet. And so the question that I want us to wrestle with for the next few minutes is, in the midst of hardship, and in the midst of suffering or tremendous loss or whatever your story or your friend's story or your family's story is, in the middle of dealing with the things that we did not ask for or dealing with the things that feel like more than we bargained for, or when we feel as though someone we love is dealing with more than their fair share, in the now and not yet, in the meantime, what does it mean that God came to call us home? Not home as in death, but home as in life. Home as in life with God here and now. That God will not abandon us in the middle of it all. So many of you know Annalie Erickson. And in the past 2 to 3 years, Annalie has been on a journey of, I would say, what it means to be called home. Not in terms of death, she's sitting right over there, but home in terms of what does it mean to be coming to light, back to life with God. And I've invited Annalie to come up and to share part of her journey with all of you of what that being called home through pain has looked like for her.
Hi. My name is Annalie. I'm a senior at Minnetonka High School. The story I'm going to share with you is my story about how Jesus called me home through tragedy and grief and onto a path full of strength, hope, and purpose. Throughout my life, I've had many ups and downs with my faith and relationship with God, but I'm not here to talk about my entire life, only the most recent event. After a while, it made my faith stronger than I could ever imagine. Going into my freshman year of high school, I was a little nervous about getting lost in the massive new school, but I knew a few girls from the soccer program that made me feel a little bit more comfortable. The first day of school came and went, but there was one thing missing. One of my really good friends, Brooklyn Short. Many of you may know this name from national news in 2015, and I'll tell you why. On Thursday of the first day of school, after soccer practice, the news spilled. My friend was dead. At that time, I wasn't too keen at crying in public. My mind goes everywhere and nowhere at the same time. Struggling to take my soccer socks off and collect my thoughts, I look up and I see my father, as strong as ever, walking towards me. All my tears flood my eyes and I break. My father and I sit there on the bench for the next hour. He explains to me what happened and that it was a horrid event. Little did I know, it was worse than I ever saw coming. I remember getting home and hugging my mother and running to my room to cocoon myself in a blanket. I spent the next hour sleeping with dried tears on my face. There's a saying my father told me that I still carry with me. It says, have hope in something greater than yourself, because those who only have hope in themselves will fail. This is where my hope comes from. This is why I was able to give my worries and stresses to God, because I knew my body would fail and my shoulders would break trying to carry the grief and guilt. No matter what happened, I kept my strength up as best I could. I helped others through their grief and failed to deal with my own. This made it so much more of a surprise when the Sunday before second semester began, I received the news that a good friend of mine, who was also affected by the death of Brooklyn, had attempted to take her own life and was in the hospital in critical condition. My friend Anna Plant had been struggling for a really long time with anxiety and depression, along with many people bullying her for the way that she looked with her Bell's palsy, which made one half of the muscles on her face unable to function. With the death of another friend, I contemplated the reason for making friends if they were going to be taken away from me. I knew Brooklyn and Anna were placed in my life for a reason, but I didn't understand why God would put me through something so terrible at such a young age. My doubt became my focus. I would constantly sit in my car and ask myself questions about why we all exist to be hurt over and over again. I didn't know how to deal with my doubt. It was in all my loss, I began to wonder if God were even present and if he even cared about this world. I was feeling so lost, I began to depend on the spiritual things I was going to attend, looking for hope wherever I could find it. Longing to feel where God was in my life, I anxiously waited for Covenant Pines, and then again for CHIC, a large youth conference in Tennessee. When finally getting to Main Stage, which is an event each night with worship and a speaker, I had no idea the impact it would have on my life. Every night, I cried my eyes out until day four. The message ended and the worshiping began. I was empty. I had finally gotten everything out. The tears I had fought and the pain I had avoided. I had finally poured out to God. I had finally laid it all to at Jesus' feet. And then out of nowhere, I was overflowing. It was like a confetti popper, but constant confetti. Jesus called me back home that night. It took me 2 years to get through this tragedy, with no shortage of doubts and questions along the way. But I wouldn't change my experiences for anything. Yes, I wish I could have Brooklyn and Anna back in my life. But through this, I now know where I'm supposed to be, and I know what God has decided to use me for. As God has led me through my own deep grief and sorrow, I now want to use my own experiences to walk with others in theirs, knowing that Jesus wants to also call them home. Thank you.
Thank you, Annalie, for sharing that. In a no small way, that captures what coming home is or can be. It's not an avoidance of, but it's a going through. For Annalie, God called her to go straight through the pain, to lay it all down, and eventually, not that the tragedy was gone or that we wouldn't undo it if we could, but at least Annalie can say, I recognize my role is to walk with people who are going through these things. Lord, help me. Lord, help me to do that. And out of the sadness and out of the grief, there was this homecoming. And I don't know your story this morning, and I don't know who you walked in here carrying or the burden that you've been holding for so long. But my encouragement for you this morning is let Jesus call you home. I don't know what your experiences have been, and if I had them, I might recognize I'd be running from God too. I don't know what your story has been. But I do know this, that if God came to earth, if God, the most privileged being the ability to avoid an experience, the ability to have power to not have to enter in, right? If God, the most privileged being that there is, chose to set aside his privilege to be in it with you, to call us home, my prayer for you this Christmas is that you would consider coming home. And so friends, the question that I want us to ask is, what does this being called home by God look like? Absolutely, it means purpose. Absolutely, it means healing. There's no way around those things. And so individually, my prayer is that you would be called home, be willing to heal, be willing to change, be willing to trust that this privileged God who put privilege aside because he saw you as valuable, that that God is for you, and that you would enter into that again, just as Jesus entered into the brokenness for you. But it's also more than that. As Eric preached on last week, the kingdom of God is both now and not yet, and there's things going on in this world. God says, will you join me in being this inbreaking coming home for other people? Just as Annalie said, my purpose now is to help other people recognize how God's leading them home. So the question is, church, will we be a people who will, instead of insisting on being right, can we insist on being right alongside? Incarnation. In it together. This insisting on being right alongside and this insisting on rewriting narratives, this has been going on since the moment that God hatched this crazy plan to come to earth in the person of Jesus. Right? Since God decided that God would come to earth, this has been going on. And I just want to briefly take us through so many things that Jesus changed in that initial story, and then we're going to close the message out. Jesus came and he didn't insist on being right. Jesus came because he wanted to insist on being right beside you. And here's what that meant. We see in the coming of Jesus, we see a God who suffers with those who suffer. Do you know where we see this? We see this because as soon as Joseph, who was a right and upstanding man, had his life completely upended and was trying to figure out what to do with this woman that he loved and was trying to do it in the right way for her and for himself, an angel appeared to him in his suffering and said, Joseph, do not be afraid. We see a God who is with those who are suffering. We see a God who, in the coming of Jesus, is remaking and releasing the things that shame us. Do you know where we see that? We see that in Elizabeth, a woman who was in her 80s, well beyond childbearing years. And in that culture, and just as a quick aside, her husband had lost the ability to speak, and that's when they became with child. So I think that must have been a really interesting, how are we going to make that happen, writing something out, right? I mean, God is in that. God brought those two together and did away with the shame. Culture had looked at Elizabeth and said, what do you have to offer? You're 80. You haven't had a kid. And she had been shamed and put aside. In Luke chapter 1, where it's recorded, Elizabeth says this. Elizabeth says that God came and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people. That God in Jesus is releasing the things that shame us. In the coming of Jesus, we see God redefining what the favor of God means. An angel shows up to Mary and says, greetings, highly favored one. Do you know what that meant for Mary? It meant that she would become an unmarried, pregnant mother who would be a refugee within 2 years' time. That's what it meant to be highly favored by God. We see God's presence being what it means to be highly favored, not a status of what it means to be highly favored. The moment that Jesus showed up in God, we see a redefining completely of what God's favor means. In the coming of Jesus, we see a God who rejoices with those who rejoice. John the Baptist leapt in Elizabeth's womb. In the coming of Jesus, we see a God who advocates for those who are voiceless. Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, lost his voice. And then Luke tells us that Elizabeth, after Zechariah lost his voice, declared loudly that in the coming of Jesus, those who have been silenced and those who have been seen to be voiceless have been given a voice. That is what it does when Jesus comes to call us home. Church, that is good news. Come on. And I could go on and on about God showing up and elevating those who have been overlooked, Anna, about remembering those who felt forgotten, Simeon, about intimately caring for those who would otherwise be lonely. Church, when Jesus comes to call you home, that's good news for you. And if we choose to participate, I'm telling you, that's good news for everybody. There's a narrative going around in culture right now, and I get it. I understand why it's there, and sometimes I fear I'm a part of it. There's a narrative going around in culture that Christians are stuck in their own way, that they just care about trying to correct people and corral people. It's almost as if we think that God came to prove that he was right instead of coming to prove that he was right alongside us. My prayer for you this Christmas, church, is that you would know that God is right alongside you. And that wherever you find yourself, whether you've been running from God and just don't want anything to do with it, probably mostly because of people like me, I get that, because of pastors, of Christians running from God, or if you find yourself over here and you're saying, God, I want to participate in welcoming and calling other people home. My prayer for you this Christmas, as tomorrow we get ready to celebrate the reality that God came to earth in a little baby, my prayer for you is that you'll consider in a new and a fresh way coming home. As we close this morning, I'm going to invite the band to come up, or the worship team to come up to lead us in the song. And we're going to be singing a song, O Come, Emmanuel. And this song is a longing. The song cries out. It says, oh God, would you come and ransom those who were captive to shame, those who were captive by systems, those who are held captive in this world. Oh God, when you come and when you inbreak, would you ransom us? And so as the band prays, what I would invite you to do, I'm going to pray for us, and then I would invite you to stand. And as we sing this song, fill in some words for yourself where you need God to call you home, where you're waiting to see an inbreaking in your own world or in culture in a new way. And would you allow God to minister to you as you cry out to him? Would you stand as I pray for us this morning? God, in you, the moment you showed up, you started changing everything. God, you didn't have to choose an unmarried teenage mom or an unmarried teenager to make a mom. You didn't have to choose an 80-year-old to undo the shame. You didn't have to appear to a man who was suffering and struggling, but you did, God. You did. And in you, Jesus, we know that you call us home. Home to where life is, where there's safety, where there's security, where there's meaning. So God, for each person in this room, wherever this falls this morning, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would continue to call us more and more home. O come, Emmanuel. Amen.